Stand with me to Ephesians 4. We started a series entitled, You Can Walk Worthy. There's no sense that we can't walk worthy. And I want to read tonight verses 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians 4. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's do this. I want you to read this with me. Let's read all three verses together, church. Do it with me. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Amen.
Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Father, touch this preaching. Help me to preach like I've never been preached before. Lord, give me strength. And like it did this morning, just open my mind and that the Holy Ghost will speak through me. And bless the service tonight and bless the teaching tonight. We'll praise you in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Thank God. I believe if you're saved, somebody help me here. And by the way, I got saved by grace.
Amen.
And I believe if you're saved, your salvation will change your behavior.
Amen.
I'm not in it. I'm not in this stuff that says you can be saved and your behavior's not changed. That's good preaching.
Amen.
I'm afraid all folks have is a little tingling on Sunday morning or maybe a little tingling on Sunday night and nothing real happens for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But I say if you got something that brought you in on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and you've been saved, it ought to affect you Monday through Saturday. I'm just a little tired of seeing Christianity that's so shallow without substance. Somebody help me preach that. That's so much shallow, so shallow. Like Oliver Grant said, shallow as goldfish. We see people in the church that take every wind and doctrine. They jump from here to there, they can't stay put. They can't stay faithful. They can't stay doctrinally sound. You say, why? Because their behavior has never been changed by their belief.
Amen.
That's good preaching. Last week we talked about a unique calling. The Bible said that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. You were called by the Holy Ghost to get saved. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
The servant's compulsion we talked about. The submissive character. We ought to be lowly. We ought to be long-suffering. And we ought to be loving. Now hold a minute. Before you say to me, there's people out there I can't love. Then how did Christ love you? Come on, man. You say, well, other people I can't love, preacher. I don't agree with that. You can even love your enemies. You can pray for them that despitefully use you. Somebody help me. You said, no, not me, friend. Once I dive in for you, you're done. You mess with me once, you're done. That ain't a Christian character. That's not real behavior. That's just a not here. Amen. Then we see a studious commitment. We need to endeavor. That means to study. Or study how to keep the bond of unity. Now, tonight, this is one of my favorite sections. The next two sermons in the book of Ephesians. We see seven ones here. I want to call this a unified concept. We cannot behave right if we're always in competition with one another. You know what's wrong with some choir people? You know what the problem is? They're always in competition with one another. You know what's wrong with some preachers? They're always in competition with one another. I ain't gonna mention no names, but I'll just give you a story. This is sad. And I'm going to tell you what happened to me at Pinch Baptist Church, First Baptist Church of Pinch, when I preached up there. Just give you a little idea how corrupt and messed up and wicked people are and how messed up this society is. I was preached on Monday night. The place was full. Y'all were there, weren't you? I preached on the, what was it, out of the accent, Chad. How to get back to the cutting edge. Boy, the church loved it. The members loved it. Come on now. I don't know if you was there, Chris, but boy, it was great. Every one of the church members of Pinch loved it. They loved it so much they put it on the internet. Okay? How much they loved it and loved my preaching and loved what God done. I thank God for that. And then some fella got on there and some other preacher that I won't use his name because I don't blame him. This guy gets on the internet after the comment about my message and said, well, such and such smoked him. And honest to God, I didn't know what they meant. So Wayne, like an idiot, I said, what do you mean? Smoke me. You know, I thought maybe he said smoke me, like smoke. Or hit me. No, he said smoke me. Like he burned me up like I was a pitiful preacher and this was a guy was great. And I just said, what do you mean? He said, well, you don't sing when you preach. And I thought, well, no, I preach what I preach. I guess his mentality is to be a spiritual preacher, you got to sing while you're preaching. I'm not against those that can put music in their message. I'm just not one. Then he said, boy, it started getting personal. Now, I'm not kidding you. I'm not embellishing this story at all. I'm kind of playing it down. Then he said, my pastor's just a year younger than you, and you get around like you're 80 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I get around good for 67. Amen. I'm moving.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
And then I made a comment, and he said, well, if you didn't want to know, you shouldn't ask. Just blasted me. And I thought, here's the problem. It's always been a problem, and it is still a problem. Instead of being focused in on the Word of God, we're focused in on personalities. And if you can punch the right chord, if I can manipulate you with music or manipulate you with a sad story. No, I don't tell hour long stories in my sermons. I preach line upon line and precept upon precept. And I preach the Word of God. And I'm not in competition with the nearby evangelists. I'm not in competition with any pastor in this country. We ought to be one in Christ and we ought to be trying to reach seven. And ain't no wonder sinners don't want anything to do with what we have. I just thought I'd get that off my chest. That's how wicked we've become. That's how old damn we've come. You know what's wrong? You worry about your favorite preacher. By the way, we're having Scott Polly. He's a great preacher, but he will not bring revival. He can't bring revival. Revival's prayed down. Revival comes when we get a broken heart. Revival comes when we get serious. So a unified concept. Let me show you. Number one, what you notice. Look at verse 4. There's one body, a functional oneness. There's one body. And I want you to know what he's talking about here. He wasn't talking about a universal organism. He was talking about the body of that local church. He was talking about the local church. He was talking about its members, its ministers, and its methods. One body. And he talked about a distinct unity. One body. By the way, if we're going to function properly, the body's got to go in the same direction. Let me ask you how weird this would be. Just watch me. I'm going here, okay? Now, I'm making a step this way, but my arms are here. How goofy does that look? How sad is it? There's a lot of people in the body of Christ. One's going this way, and one's going that way, and one wants this way, and this guy wants contemporary, and this guy wants this, and this guy wants this, and they're going all different directions, but they all say they're in the same body. I don't believe it!
Amen!
Amen! Then secondly, I want you to notice the divine unifier. One spirit. There is one body, but thank God there's one spirit. Hallelujah. In the churches today, why do you think God says try the spirits if they're of God? Not spirits, but we're looking for the Holy Ghost. See, Jesus said, I'll leave you another comforter. And by the way, you cannot get the Holy Ghost direction if you quench the Spirit, grieve the Spirit, or resist the Spirit. I hope that I'm a runner rabbit. The Calvinists say you can't do that. They say you can't resist the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a time in my life I rejected the call of God. And I resisted God. And it wasn't until I, with my human will, trust Christ, did I get a change. Stephen said to him, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know something. You can reject the Holy Ghost or you can receive the Holy Ghost. You can reject His leading or you can resist His leading. How many agree with me that He's the administrator of the church?
Amen.
Hey, He's the enabler of the church. He's the empower of the church. I'll tell you why our churches are going wrong. There's just no power. We wonder why there's not more changed lives. Because I don't see much enablement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got an enabler. His name is the Holy Ghost. He lives in me. He came one time in me. There's one baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have many feelings. Amen. See, there's a lot of people operating outside the Holy Ghost. Let me say this. Can I get this? By the way, don't tell me you're operating the Holy Spirit if you're exalting the Spirit and not exalting the Son. Holy Spirit don't exalt Himself. And that's why the charismatics are wrong. That's why this contemporary movement is wrong. They're trying to magnify the flesh. They're trying to exalt the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost never exalted Himself. Why is it in our Christianity today? He's the one being exalted. No, sir. He always exalts Christ.
Amen.
And I want you to know something. I don't want you to be enamored. Don't you worship me. I'll fail you. You let the Holy Ghost in you point you to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you. Will y'all do me a favor? Turn to Acts 15 a minute. I want to show you something about this one spirit. I just want to show you this real quick. Go over it real quick. See, there was a dispute in the church in Acts chapter 15. You say, Preacher Smith, what will put out a dispute quicker than anything? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
See, the Holy Ghost will point you in the right direction. But they had a dispute. They had a division. Let me read it to you. Start at chapter 15, verse 1. Notice the division. And certain men which had come down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and deputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles, unto the elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, They passed through Venus and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church of the apostles and the elders. And they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up a certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it is needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing. I'm talking about arguing. You know what? I'll tell you what will shut your mouth quicker than anything. The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. I don't like arguing. I don't like disputing. And if you want to come argue with me, you need to not see me. I ain't fussing with you.
Amen.
I ain't going to dispute about something. When God puts something in my heart, now look, notice the verse 7. And when there had been much disputing. By the way, if you read Galatians, Paul had to put Peter in line. And Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe? And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, listen to this, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. What Paul said to them? That bunch has the Holy Ghost just like, shut your mouth. We're not going back to circumcision. That's the law. That's legalism.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. There's some Baptist churches in independent Baptist churches I know this close to legalism. They're extremists. But some of them are legalists. For example. Now, nobody, don't take none of this personal. I'm just giving you what some of them say. Well, if any lady wears pants, she's going to hell. I want you to know something. That's legalism. When you attach something to a standard and say you're going to hell if you don't do it, you're a legalist.
Amen.
You ain't right. And they were trying to put them back under the law. Some of my Baptist preachers. You know what they are? They're the first revolving door. They build, they soul win, they get people saved. They can't keep nobody in church because they're running them off because they ain't giving nobody time to grow. Somebody got to give Christian time to grow. Quit judging everybody. Might be good you get your eyes off everybody else, get them on yourself.
That's good, preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you this, sticking down your nose at people and judging their salvation and judging their spirituality ain't nothing but judgmental and legalistic and ungodly, and I'm not putting up with it and I don't believe in it, and there's one Lord and one Spirit and one body. Somebody help me.
Amen.
Yes, sir. See, here's what's wrong with our churches today. Our churches are focusing on their differences instead of their unity.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't like the brown carpet. That's it. That's why you're leaving. I don't like this person when they sing. That's it. You know what your problem is? You got your eyes on the flesh and not on God. Poor old boy. I know it's good stuff, ain't it? Let me give you a second thought. A fundamental origin. Look what the Word of God says. He said there is one body and one Spirit. Listen to this. As ye are called in one hope of your calling. One hope. There's only one hope. And his name is Jesus. Somebody help me.
Amen.
I am one person that gives hope. The preacher can't give hope. You can't give hope. But Jesus can give hope.
Amen.
And he's coming back.
Amen.
And anticipate a conviction. An absolute confession. Look at verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Let's go over that. One Lord. That's Jesus. That's not Pastor Smith. I'm not the Lord of this church. And I ain't going to Lord it. I'm going to lead it, but I'm not going to Lord it. There's only one of them.
Amen.
What's wrong with some of these Pharisaical preachers, Baptist preachers? They think they have become Lord of the church, and their dogma is how he says it or no. No, it's what the Word of God says. This pastor's going to be led and preach the Word of God. You follow the Word of God as I follow the Word of God.
Amen.
One Lord, not deacons. Not a committee, not Muhammad, not the Pope,
amen.
Not religion, not prosperity, but Christ.
Amen.
One faith. Boy, I'm gonna hit this. One faith. See, we believe in Scripture. See, there's many nationalities, but there's only one faith.
Amen.
He said earnestly contend for the what? Faith. See, there's some churches want many faiths, many doctrines. There's only one doctrine.
Right.
Only one faith.
Amen.
Only one body of Scripture.
Right.
There ain't one for the Methodist, and one for the Baptist, and one for the Nazarene. No, there's only one.
Right.
And let me give you the wrong one. That's why they become something other than Baptists.
Amen.
Oof, I heard it.
It's still right.
I don't believe Baptists are the only one going to heaven, but it ain't a bad idea to go first class. Nah, I'm not that narrow. They ain't all Baptists going to heaven. See, I'm talking about one Bible, what we live by, how we raise our family, how we conduct our life, how we love our spouse, how we love our family, how we love our children, how we love our brothers and sisters. One Lord, one faith.
Amen.
And then listen to this. Now you may differ with me here, but you can go ahead and be wrong if you want to. One baptism.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what it is. And I know some ain't going to like this. That's water baptism. That's what brings you into local church.
Yes,
you're identified with Christ by your baptism.
Amen.
Oh yeah. This is what the Holy Spirit baptized me in the body. You are in the body by the Holy Spirit. But the local New Testament church, you become a member because you were baptized scripturally.
Amen.
One baptism. What does baptism do? It identifies us. It's an outward picture of an inward faith. It's an outward man of fashion. It's of an inward metamorphosis. See, I chose him in my heart. Then I go into the water. Now notice this. You hear this out. I'm almost done. Here's what the one baptism is. First of all, you got to have a right candidate. They got to be born again. If they go in that water, a sinner, they're going to come out a dry or a wet hypocrite.
Amen.
Come on, man. Have to have the right kid. Hey, by the way, you got to have the right mode. It's immersion. You're identified with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Baptism is not sprinkling.
Amen.
No, sir. That came through the Roman Catholics.
That's right.
And then they passed it down to all the Protestant denominations. That didn't come from us. Our Baptist doctrine, hey, by the way, we were there before there was ever a Protestant or a Roman church. And the mode of baptism has always been immersion. And I tell you what happened when Constantine made the stage of church, had the state church. By the way, he tried to do it the way the Baptists done it. And he did babies and he baptized them and killed them.
That's right. Amen.
I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
And that's where sprinkling came from.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Come on, preacher.
That's
You haven't been baptized unless you were a right candidate and got saved and done it by the right mode. And if you weren't a most, you weren't baptized. And you become a member in the local church because you've been baptized, scripture immersed, identified with Christ.
Amen.
This ain't preached much, but I'm preaching tonight. It's good stuff, isn't it? Then you have to have the right authority. Oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. There's only one authority that allows us to baptize, and that's the authority of the church. Now somebody said, preacher, and before you get jumping crazy here, don't jump too crazy real quick, because you may be wrong. So I don't believe a deacon can baptize. Well, he said, yes, he can if the church gives him authority. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then you might as well tear out Acts chapter 8. How many believe Philip was a deacon? And Philip baptized the eunuch. And who gave him authority? The church of Jerusalem. Boy, that's good preaching, man. I know some of you are thinking, well, what is he doing? I'm trying to explain one baptism. See, that's him. Hey, by the way, the Great Commission was given to the church.
Amen.
I think everything ought to be under the auspice of the church.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Can I run another rabbit that makes me half sick in my stomach? Where has churches got off that they have to go out and support their ministry, their mission program, their youth program, by spaghetti sales and hot dog sales and yard sales and Easter egg selling? I don't believe it.
Amen.
I don't believe it. You can ask the deacons, what was the first thing I done when I become pastor? If you remember, Wayne, what we done first thing a long time ago. At that time, the Awana program, the kids were paying for their materials. First thing we done after becoming pastor, we paid for the materials. Now, they bring dues in and stuff like that, but they ain't buffer buying the materials. Boy, it's quiet in here. Have I killed you or something? You know what? No, let's go down here and just say God can supply our needs, and let's don't take care of the youth ministry, and let's don't take care of missions, and let's don't take care of the seniors, and let's don't take care of anything. Let's just bake sell and yard sell it, and just go ahead and go idiotic.
Good preacher.
Now, if you're a Christian school and does that, I don't care what you do. I'm talking about the church.
Amen.
I get off on that. Amen. And they call it spirituality. Let me go on. I'm done. Every once in a while I got to run a rabbit, Brother Backus, and tonight's one. Somewhere along the line, churches need to be taught the truth so that the next generation will do the right thing.
Amen.
I'm done. Verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. That's a family operation. Hallelujah. I want you to know there's only one God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And one Father.
Amen.
I'm talking about, first of all, His supreme power. He's above all. How many believe that?
Amen.
He's above all. He's all authority. You say, who am I to follow your Father God?
Right.
Then a sovereign purpose. He's through all.
Amen.
Now here. If He's not in your life and in your home and in your family and in your lifestyle, He is not through you all. He's through all. He's through the church. He's the one that operates in the church.
Amen.
And He ought to operate in your family. Good preaching, Reverend. Then I see, last thing, I'm done, a sustaining presence. And he's in you all. If God be for you, somebody help me. Who could be against you? I want all y'all to know something. God lives in me. How many of y'all believe that? Everybody believes that. Raise your hand. Okay. Then let me ask you this question. Why isn't our lifestyle different? Why isn't our attitudes different? Why aren't our actions different? If he's in us. If somebody that has the fullness of God in us, Richard, doesn't that make sense? He has control. And when I lose my temper and let my tongue go and I'm unforgiving, God ain't working in me. He's not working through me.
Amen.
What's quiet in here? He's in us. He's through us. He's everything. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The unifying concept. What puts us together tonight? I'm done. Did I say that once? I'm done. What makes us tick? What makes you want to follow your pastor? It's because you got one Lord. Because we're in the same body.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen? You're not in a different body. And you're to follow your pastor as he follows the Word. If I don't follow the Word, don't follow me. I don't want you following me outside the Bible. But if I am following the Bible, you better hook up. You know what the whole problem is? Most people in this world have an authority problem. And it's not authority with the preacher or the deacons. It's authority. You have a problem with God. That ain't no problem with me. I have a problem with God. I want to follow Him. You know, you mean God let the preacher do that? Well, He can't do that. Hold it. Your problem ain't with the preacher. Your problem's with God. You're sideways, but you ain't sideways with me. You're sideways with God. You say, well, I have a different opinion. No, you have a different opinion with God. You agree? Our number one problem is we try to get outside the authority of God. Rich, we live and we move and we have our being because of Him. Stay with me, I'm done. I wonder how many of you. Let me ask you a question. Are you unified? Is your family unified? Are you on the same page with God? Do you need some power from God tonight? Won't you come up here around the altar and say, God, I want your power. I want to be unified with you. I want to be connected. I don't feel connected. Come and get connected. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing something. You need to come and pray. Come and pray.
He's all I need.
Amen.
He's all I need.
Amen.
Jesus.
Teenager.
Is
Mom, Dad. He's all you need.
I need.
You need to follow God.
He holds my hand.
Let me dismiss. Our Father, thank you that you're all we need. Lord, I should bless everyone. Good crowd tonight. Bring us into that unifying concept. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Unify us in your doctrine, in your truth, because the truth sets us free. God, we praise you in Jesus' name. For his sake. Amen. God bless you. Good night.